Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, June 18, 2021. Unknown gunmen attacked the convoy of the deputy governor of Eastern Equatorial State.
They were stopped by some armed group of Monyomi, the youth, and they looted this vehicle. And then after taking everything that belongs to these people...
And the head of the UN Refugee Agency in South Sudan says aid workers continue to face threats in Upper Nile State.
The government is aware. I know that they are doing their best to help us. We are also working with UNMISS, the peacekeepers, on this, but it is a problem and it's not over yet.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Eastern Equatorial State officials say unknown gunmen killed one person and injured four others along the Torit Kapoita Road last night. Eyewitnesses say the gunmen ambushed a vehicle belonging to the deputy governor of Eastern Equatorial State, Mary Ndiyo Lodera. Lodera's convoy was ambushed when she visited an area in Eastern Equatorial State. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Alejandro Lotok, spokesperson in the office of Eastern Equatorial State Governor Luis Lobong Lajore, says the deputy governor's car being used by a South Sudanese American who was returning to Torit from visiting his family in the Lopit area was ambushed in Haforeire village Thursday night.
They were stopped by some armed group of Monyomi, the youth, and they looted this vehicle. And then after taking everything that belongs to these people, then they told these people, you get into your car and go to Torit. But in the process of the driver trying to now continue with the journey, they started firing, shooting at the vehicle, and they shot one person dead. And then the car now, because the driver was also shot in the head.
Lotok says four people were injured when the car overturned. He says the four injured people are being treated at Torit Hospital. He says a child and a mother are missing and that the locals are searching for the missing in the bush. Lotok says it was by luck that a few minutes after the attack, the deputy governor's convoy arrived at the scene when it was on its way to Kapoita for a peace mission. He says the guards fired at the unidentified attackers who had not yet left the scene, then ran into a nearby village. Lotok says the office of the governor has written a letter to the chiefs and youth leaders in Haforeire village asking them to hand over the culprits, saying they must be known.
We know that in the state here, every village, there are elders, there is a chief and there are youth leaders there. And when criminals do their attacks, always it must always be known. And so we believe that the criminals who did this attack are known. And the chiefs and the youth leaders and the youth in that area should actually produce these people and hand over to the government. And if they don't do that, I think the government will have to launch an operation to those areas to go and ask them, why doing this? Why doing criminal activities every day, destabilizing the security of the state?
Lotok says the government's approach is that if any attack happens in a specific village or area, that whole village will be held responsible for the incident. He says government forces will move into the village and round up all villages to produce the culprits. Lotok says state officials may decide to carry out a massive, forceful disarmament because people have ignored peaceful disarmament campaigns.
Politicians from Eastern Equatoria should go to their villages and talk to the youth in their villages about the importance of peace, stability, and peaceful coexistence with their neighbors. But if politicians are staying in Juba, staying in Torit, and they allow the members of their villages and their constituencies to kill people who are traveling on the roads.
In March, Eastern Equatorial State Governor Luis Lobong Lajore survived an attack on his convoy by gunmen in Budi County. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
Still on security matters, the UN Refugee Agency says threats and attacks are continuing on aid workers in parts of South Sudan, including Maban, which hosts the country's largest refugee population. UNHCR's country representative in South Sudan says staff members in Maban continue to face threats from the local community. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
In 2019 up to 2,000 local youth forcibly entered the UNH Shira compound and the compounds of 14 other aid agencies in Mabana, leading to assault of 8 workers, looting, arson, and the destruction of vehicles, structures, and other humanitarian assets, including life-saving medicines. The 2019 attacks in Mabana forced 8 agencies to suspend services except for life-saving activities in communities around Mabana. At least 398 workers had to be evacuated from the area. Arafat says despite government intervention to address the threats and attacks on 8 workers, the problem persists.
The government is aware. I know that they are doing their best to help us. We are also working with UNMISS, the peacekeepers, on this, but it is a problem and it's not over yet. And I would like to underline that please enable us to do the work that we need to do.
The top UNH Shira official in South Sudan is calling on the government to intervene and end the attacks and threats on 8 workers. Over the past few months, humanitarians faced similar threats and attacks in parts of eastern Equatorial State. Arafat says government officials need to address the problem once and for all.
In South Sudan in general, there is a problem of security of humanitarian workers. And I've discussed this at many levels with the government. We are here to work together with the government and people of South Sudan, but we require, it is essential for us to also be protected. You cannot attack the people who are here to protect.
Mabana County Commissioner Peter Alberto admits that local youth have threatened and attacked 8 workers, but says the problem existed in the past.
I found a joint operation, which is stationed at a bridge, which is this river, the river bisecting Mabana into two. I have to station them there, and I have to order all the roads. Nobody is to carry a gun, even in the market, and even in the civilian areas.
Alberto says he is trying to restore law and order, adding that he has empowered local authorities to hold the criminal suspects accountable for their actions.
Police has got the access to arrest anybody, whether you are a refugee or a host community, that you happen to commit a crime. And in the end, it is resorted in a good way.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs recently called for action by the government to protect 8 workers, saying such challenges may affect the work of 8 agencies. Earlier this month, the UN condemned the killing of 2 8 workers in South Sudan and urged authorities to bring the perpetrators to justice after a series of similar attacks. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Nairobi, where a South Sudanese mother is pleading for help from a hospital in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Aluel James Deng says she had twins through an emergency cesarean section at Ruai Family Hospital in Nairobi. She says when she could not pay the hospital bill amounting to 1.8 million Kenyan shillings, hospital authorities would not allow her to leave. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar has more from Juba.
Reached by phone at the hospital ward in Nairobi, Aluel James Deng says 3 days ago, she had an emergency delivery which forced her to be admitted to Ruai Family Hospital, where she gave birth to twins. On Thursday, Deng says the hospital served her with a medical bill totaling 1.4 million Kenyan shillings.
The most painful part is this has to be treated like you're not a human being. You know, how could a bill of 3 days become, $13,000? It doesn't make sense. Oh, I'm heartbroken because the father of the kid left me.
The 30-year-old mother says after all her attempts to contact relatives and ask them to intervene failed, she turned to social media to tell her story. An official in charge of client relations at the hospital confirmed to this program that a South Sudanese woman gave birth to twins at the hospital 3 days ago and she is not able to pay her bills. but the official declined to comment further, saying he is not authorized to speak to the media. Joel Ajongo, South Sudan ambassador to Kenya, says he is aware of a South Sudanese woman who has given birth to twins at the hospital.
This is purely a family issue. A girl who is married to a Kenyan who delivered at the hospital. We don't even know the details of why would the bill would kick to 13,000, as if somebody have done like a heart operation or even a neurological operation. Embassies can do nothing. What is required about these embassies, always we come to assist our national when they are stressed, when they are legal issues, but not medical bills, which is more or less something to do with the, you know, maternity.
Deng is asking well wishers for support.
This is a real story. There's no con man, there's no con woman. How much true? And I'm seeking help for my people, my South Sudanese people.
Someone who identified himself as Chelsea Bidal has started a GoFundMe, a social media fundraising platform to help Deng raise money to pay her medical bills. At press time, GoFundMe account had only $63 out of $15,000 set as the target. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, health workers at Yambio Hospital have gone on strike. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does your family often get together to celebrate holidays?
My family is low income earner. They don't have much for holidays because it requires a lot of money, maybe a lot of traveling.
It is occasional, actually. Maybe end of year or these other celebrations like for different religions like Christmas, Eid. Those are some of the occasions we normally come together as a family.
For me, my family, well, they are not together. They are all scattered in different countries, so getting together is a bit difficult.
Family often get together to celebrate, not even on holidays, but ordinary days, especially on Sundays.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Employees of Yambio Civil Hospital are on strike to protest against what they call low pay and poor working conditions. For VOA News Seba, Martin Morangi reports from Juba.
Victoria Midye visited Yambio Civil Hospital on Tuesday morning when she began experiencing labor pains. I came yesterday here with labor pain, but I got the hospital empty with no workers. So my husband thought of taking me to Nzara Hospital, where I delivered on the way. It was hard because there was no one who could even cut the umbilical cord of the baby. That is why I'm urging the government to look seriously into the issues of our health workers, especially those in the hospital, because they save people's lives. Six medical doctors work at the Yambio Hospital, each earning $600 per month. They say they want their pay raised to at least $1,000 a month. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Yambio, Nako Rose, a nurse stroke midwife who has worked at Yambio Civil Hospital for 12 years, says aside from low pay and poor working conditions, employees are unhappy because there are few training opportunities and zero efforts to motivate workers.
It's not all that about what people talking about, that that we are complaining about money. No, our major complaint here, regular training for trucks for staff is not there. And okay, coming to the part of like segregation in payment of staff and the lack of motivation, at least a word of thanks is enough for staff.
Last year, the National Health Ministry approved what is called a hardship allowance to supplement the salaries of health workers in Western Equatoria State. Western Equatoria State Health Minister James Abdu Votoki says out of 42 health facilities that were identified as beneficiaries of the hardship allowances, only 12 facilities are being considered.
Implementing partners and the partners who provide health services to the state, the particular health partners whom they are striking against. This were HPF, that is Health School Fund, who provide funds to World Vision and Guam. The health facilities that were getting supplies. And these health facilities are our facilities as government. HPF is our partner who is supplying us with the drugs in our facilities. But they decided to cut off out of 42 facilities in Yambio County. They only consider 12 facilities.
Health Pool Fund Manager Scopas Kenyi declined to comment, saying he is not authorized to speak to the media. Kenyi would only say what he wants to adhere to his mandate, which is to support the health sector. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
In an entertainment news, veteran musicians and producer Noel Ngema Makanda, widely known as Werason, has been a seminal figure in Congolese music since the early 1980s. VOA ethnomusicologist and host of Music Time in Africa, Heather Maxwell, joins him in this virtual conversation to talk about music today and its role in developing undiscovered Congolese talents.
Hello, Werason. It is nice to see you. So what are you doing in the United States?
I'm in the United States because I have my family here, and then I also went to Dallas. A friend of mine invited me to a wedding. That is the main reason why I'm here.
Was it difficult to travel under COVID restrictions?
It was easy because before traveling, I had to take a test, and now I took my test, and without that, I couldn't travel.
Werason, this is your band, Wenge Musica Maison Mère, right?
Yeah, it's my band, Wenge Musica Maison Mère. I'm the one that created it, and it's my band.
Since like 1997, is it?
Since then, I work with my band. People come and leave, and today I still continue to recruit people that come in my band to play with me, and they come and they go.
What are you singing about in this song? What is Formidable?
Formidable is a deal. I'm singing about everything that makes you happy, and when you see my clip, you can tell that everything inside is formidable. Formidable the dance, formidable the people inside. I'm talking about just the world being formidable and the joy of dancing.
Well, one thing that is formidable that I hear is your voice.
Thank you so much. It's my own voice, as you can see. I don't force anything. I just sing naturally. So thank you so much for the compliment.
Jamaica also is very talented. I noticed that when he comes in near the middle of the song, the rhythm and the tempo change. Is that his signature?
Is that something for formation?
Yeah, you are right. Jamaica is very talented. But most of what he is doing in the clip, as you see, is the orientation that I give to them. And most of them just come and then they don't know exactly what to do. But it's about what exactly I want to show with his talent that I put something something on him to do something. So I'm going to suggest you, if you would like, to take a look on one of my clips called Block Gardena. There is a young boy over there. He's playing the guitar. I'm sure you're going to like it. You're going to like it, and you're going to see how much I can use talent to make them give the best of them.
What does this gesture mean?
As you said it, I'm a showman, so the move just you talk about is just, you know, I'm doing stuff to make people dance and then to motivate people. It just, you know, it's what I do. As a showman, you have to do stuff to make people dance, and then that's all I do. If you come to my concert, you see how much I can motivate people. Even those that don't want to dance, they can dance if I do that.
Okay, well, Ngaima Makanda Werason, King of the Forest, thank you so much for joining me today and taking the time out from your family time here in the U.S. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm sure our audiences are really happy to.
Hey, Dave, come on, thank you. This is very ambitious, very nice. Come on, je vous aime, je vous aime.
Thank you.
Salon Up Air na London.
We'd love to hear what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from many of you about our news and coverage this week, including attacks in Lake State. Kaman Makurual in Rombek, Lake State says, "The incident that happened over the weekend in Rombek East County is causing panic as death becomes the norm. I call upon local, state, and national governments to prioritize the issue and come up with possible solutions of ending hostilities as the situation remains tense." Jacob Dior Machuang from Euro Lake State says, "The communal violence in Lake State has gone beyond description. The killing of a breastfeeding mother with her child in Rombek East in the name of revenge is too barbaric and unethical. Women do not go in the front line of the conflict, but they hear the pains on a daily basis for the killing of their sons, husbands, and relatives. Why have we lost a sense of humanity as a community? I urge the national government to empower the new governor of Lake State to carry out forceful disarmament." Mabor Alat Rengo from Rubek Lake State writes, "I am so saddened about the communal violence amongst the Agar community. This violence claims many lives yearly. I am appealing to the new governor of Lake State, Honorable Ring Twen Mabor, to apply the same formula used by Karen Warap State Governor Honorable Aleu Ayin in our state in order to break off this chain of communal conflicts and bring back the reputation of Lake State people." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bor says, "The rampant killings of health workers in South Sudan needs immediate government intervention. Bring those perpetrators to book, because these barbaric acts must stop before the country is engulfed in lawlessness." Kenyi from the Bidibidi Refugee Settlement Zone 4, Abir Majo, says, "The leadership of South Sudan protects their positions, not their people. South Sudanese are suffering, both internally displaced and those in refugee settlements, but no government is caring for them." Mal Adau Mal in Bortown writes, "Hello VOA, as Ugandan hospitals are being overwhelmed due to a new surge in COVID-19 infections, let's all put Uganda in our prayers, because that nation means a lot to us and it's the only route for food and education. We who were brought up by Uganda feel upset when hearing such news, and a good number of South Sudanese families reside all over Uganda. To those who wish to have the lab to first prove for them COVID-19 vaccine in order to take their jobs in South Sudan, please bear in mind that on earth there is God first, followed by science to mitigate the spread of the pandemic. Any other alternative is death." Nial Chod Diang Yok in Juba's Protection of Civilians Site 3 says, "Much appreciation to VOA for broadcasting news about issues happening in South Sudan. The lives of the people of South Sudan are continually devalued by their government. You have heard youth being arrested by the local government in Malut County in Palutpayam because of their rightful assembly to claim their rights from an oil company in the area which does not provide essential services such as roads, schools, hospitals, as well as jobs for them. This is a clear violation of the constitution by the government. Others are corruption and revenge killings across the country due to delays in the swearing-in of parliamentarians and the delay in graduating unified forces, making rampant insecurity possible. I call upon the international community to pressure this government to implement the agreement fully. Gatkwath Katfan Wall from Khartoum writes, "This message goes out to the government of South Sudan. What prevents the peace of South Sudan is not the killing of the doctor in Panjar. We South Sudanese know that death is still going on. We left a big problem with a small problem. No security arrangements or graduation of forces. If there is no security, who will protect the authorities of the country? Inside 7 years, there are no laws that judge a person who brings those who kill the humanitarian workers and those who kill the traders in Numuli to justice. Why don't you bring unknown gunmen to the law? Because the government has relationships with the unknown gunmen." Emma in Juba says, "I appreciate your work, VOA. Keep it up. Egypt should stop bullying fellow African countries that are alongside the two Niles. Those countries have the right to use on any development projects for that particular country." Samuel Remo in Yei writes, "Hi John Tanza. The Anyanya 1 war, SPLM war and the 2013 war have made people of South Sudan poor and traumatized. It's not easy to talk with someone who is facing hunger and traumatized. He may kill you for unknown reason." Saber Isaac Hamis in Yambia, Western Equatorial State says, "Surely the killing of aid workers around South Sudan has been so disturbing and still national government has been so silent. I don't know why. Aid workers must be protected and provided with maximum security, most especially those who are working in areas which are not of their origins by the organizations hiring them." And Deng Tinjok from Ton writes, "The legislature is the watchdog in any country. If their swearing-in is delayed, it will be calculated in a different angle. All parties should not be told always what to do. Are they not tired of being blamed and abused on the delays of formation of the government? The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We appreciate hearing what you think about the program. Keep those comments coming."
Thanks, Nabil Biagio. Keep your comments brief and we will sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you in a dancing mood with more music from Werason. This one is Techno Malewa.
So,
yes.
So,
yes.
Naya Toyo Oya. The Ben Nana. Jahid. Mankou, mamae, yako tumba, yako ita, yako kalika, mwamba, au Cameroun, les Ivoiriens, les Gabonais, les Capverdiens, Angola, Congo Brazza, les Béninois, le Centrafricain, Tanzania, Zambie, Kenya, et toute l'Afrique, Techno.
Been listening to Werason with the song Techno Malewa. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yeah.